Welcome back to Griffith Small Podcast. Today we are here with Uli Schmetzer, foreign correspondent for 40 years, and after he retired, he wrote 6 books on his experience. Uli, would you like to explain where you worked and who for?
Well, I started working for Reuters News Agency. Well, actually, I started working for the Melbourne Herald, then for Reuters News Agency in Latin America for 10 years, and then I joined the Chicago Tribune. Well, they joined me, and then I worked in Asia, first in the Middle East, mm-hmm. then Asia, and finally I finished off in Japan, yes.
Okay.
So it was just still part of Asia.
Yeah. And throughout this career, which country did you feel most censored in regards to freedom of speech?
Well, it was China. Actually, a lot of people feel that China is very, very strict on what you can say, what you can write, and if you're a foreign correspondent, they sit on you, which is true. But if you say, I found out in 8 years in China, if you tell what is happening and you stick to the facts, you can survive 8 years in China. If you stray a little bit, and if you make innuendos, what could have happened, what might have happened, but you have no proof of it, you're probably out on your ear.
Okay, fair enough.
And, they ask you to leave the country or they don't renew your visa.
Wow.
Then, do you want to know about other countries? I mean,
that would be great.
Apart from China, it was very difficult in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful in Pakistan because the so-called freedom of expression and freedom of speech is guaranteed by the constitution. But there is a state within the state in Pakistan, and that ISIS, the Inter-Service Agency, which is a secret military agency which practically runs the country.
Yep.
They can do what they want. And you can disappear and nobody will know what happened to you. So you have countries where you have a legal system and you have an underground system. The same a little bit in Israel,
mm-hmm.
where you have the Mossad, which is the secret agency mm-hmm. of Israel.
Yeah.
And, they can do things to you or they can kick you out of the country. They can do, I mean, you are not, you are, many countries, you are not safe as far as freedom of expression goes,
yeah.
because there's a dual system.
Mm-hmm.
One is the legitimate part.
Yeah.
That will, make declarations and say, yes, we've arrested the guy. And the other one is the underground part. And they're the powerful ones, like in China, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The security service in China is a power. You can just, they can do with you what they want.
So they don't follow the law. They don't follow the constitution.
They follow their own. You can just disappear.
Wow.
And you can, and the same can happen to you in many countries, especially in Southeast Asia, where you have these parallel governments. I mean, the underground government, which is usually the secret services and the secure, what they call the security service,
mm-hmm.
and you have the official government, which is usually goes by the book or tries to go by the book. And all the dirty part is done on, by the other party.
But they overpower the book.
Overpower.
Basically.
Of course they do. In these countries, it's the secret services,
mm-hmm.
the military that run the countries, especially in Southeast Asia, very often. I mean, Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
In the Philippines, it's the police. It's a police state mainly. Under
really?
The present government. It used to be a very good democratic system after the fall of Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
It worked as a democracy. And then it was taken over about 4 years, 5 years ago now by a president called Duterte,
mm-hmm.
who made decisions like every truck, he told the police, you can shoot all truck traffickers. Shoot them dead. So you have, in the Philippines, you have about, they claim now it's about 20,000 people in the last 4 years been shot. But of course, not all of these people were drug traffickers. There were people who they didn't like, or the police didn't like, or somebody didn't like, and they said you're a drug trafficker, you know. So a drug user, drug trafficker, they all became victims. These are things, or in Indonesia, the pogrom against the Chinese, the ethnic Chinese, under Suharto, there were 500,000 were killed, I think, if I remember rightly, it was half a million. And then when I was there, there was a pogrom when they burned all the Chinese in Jakarta, when they burned the Chinese supermarkets, the Chinese houses.
Yeah.
The Chinese shops, the little shops that had it.
Wow.
So, you know.
bringing it back.
I mean, you know, when you go to these places, you
they don't people regard will laugh at
you when you say, you know, have you got freedom of expression? Have you freedom of speech. Saying what you want to say?
No. So it's not like Australia. It's very differing.
Yes, in Australia, you have that. In the Western countries, they have mostly our countries, like Europe. The European countries, they have a system of laws that says you can freely express yourself. However, when you libel or defame somebody, you can be taken to court. But you go on a legitimate court case. You go to a legitimate court case in front of a judge and maybe even a jury if it's very serious. But usually it's a judge and the lawyers who argue. So you're practically, you're protected.
Wow.
But then you have places like Julian Assange in Britain. You know, I mean, Julian Assange was doing the world a favor by revealing what the hell the Americans were doing.
Yeah.
But now he's been persecuted for the last 25 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And the law which allows you to have freedom of expression is being applied in a different way. Because what are they saying now? That what he revealed legitimately was a state secret, and therefore he violated the State Secrecy Act. Now, the State Secrecy Act can be applied to anything, you know. If you say something about the Prime Minister that he's doing this or that, I mean, it could also be, it's also be considered a state secret and it weakens your country.
So you see this a lot.
You can twist it. Even in our system, which are democracies and legitimate, constitutional, law-abiding countries, or supposed to be, everything can be twisted.
Yeah, so it's like one law can outweigh another law. Everything overlaps a little bit.
Depends how you interpret it.
It's all up to interpretation, isn't it?
Of course it's up to me. But you can always find the clause in any of the law or of the other laws and say, hey, he violated this law by expressing or revealing secret documents that were in public interest. Because we want to know what they were doing in Vietnam. We want to know what they were doing in Iraq. We want to know a lot of things that the military have kept secret. And now, we could say we have Western democracies, we are democratic societies, but there are still loopholes in our societies that can be used and are being used constantly.
Well, I understand what you mean.
So, I mean, I wouldn't have put my hand in the fire for Australia if there was a need to get somebody who is becoming making the country uncomfortable, or the politicians uncomfortable, or the leaders uncomfortable, or the military uncomfortable. Right? Why wouldn't they find some excuse?
Yeah, in Australia it's very different. I remember in Thailand, you couldn't speak about any of the royal family. You couldn't say anything. Yeah. Like, even inside a taxi, I just asked about it. And my cousins were like, okay, that's enough. Let's not talk about this. Yeah, their freedom of speech is a lot different.
Well, freedom of speech can be, interpreted many ways. I mean, there are places you can't speak badly about. You couldn't speak badly in China about Xi Jinping, the current leader of China.
Mm-hmm.
If you said something nasty about him, boom. I mean, it's like my father was a German. I mean, I was born in Germany and I came to Australia when I was very small.
Mm-hmm.
But he spoke something against Hitler, and all he said was, Hitler's not even a German. He's an Austrian. They put him in jail.
Really?
Absolutely. Beat the hell out of him.
And see, that was
in Germany. You know?
It goes so against freedom of speech.
Yes, freedom of speech. Yeah. It depends. It depends. I mean, if you can, I'm sure there was nothing in the German constitution in those days that said you cannot speak badly about Adolf Hitler. It was just understood you couldn't speak badly about Adolf Hitler.
It was like an unwritten rule.
It was an unwritten law. And so there are lots of unwritten laws all over the world.
Wow.
And we are much more clever in our Western democracies. We find loopholes that we can accuse you. We're not accusing you of violating freedom of expression. We're accusing you of endangering the state, our state, our government, our system.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say, we haven't done this yet, we could say that the COVID-19 virus is an invention in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that. They haven't said that yet, that's a criminal offence. But if it gets really bad, you could make that accusation. Said that you have to prove that it's bullshit, that it's an invention.
Mm-hmm. And then that would be squashing freedom of speech, though. So
of course that would be.
They're always overlapping.
That's right. We haven't come to that point yet here.
Yeah.
But I'm always wondering, and if the Novaks would become so powerful that they, which they are becoming slowly powerful, mm-hmm. that we wouldn't impose some kind of restrictions that makes it illegal
to say that.
To say that. Or to say that you get sick from the vaccine.
Yeah.
Which is not proven but you can take them or not for
divulging
or spreading lies, fabrications, you know. It's very important.
It's a very difficult...
Misty.
Yes, it is. It's very grey.
Freedom of expression, freedom of speech. It's all very, very misty.
Do you have any, like, big examples that stand out from your career when you thought, oh, God, I can't say this, but I really want to?
There are lots of them.
Yeah.
Oh, in China, for example, I found out that the Chinese had put down a rebellion by the Uyghurs in the western province of Xinjiang.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that they had killed dozens of people or rebels. I mean, they were not rebels. They were people throwing stones, and it was all... over a mosque.
Yep.
And the Chinese, I must give them that. First, they denied everything.
Mm-hmm.
And said it was not happened and so on. And I was there. And then, later on, they admitted it. That I always gave them the credit for that, because I thought I was gone. I mean, when they started denying it, I thought, okay, really? They're going to kick me out of the country and or whatever.
So where did you announce this? Did you write an article on it or something?
I wrote an article in my paper. Right?
Wow.
The Tribune. You know, as foreign correspondent, you are very free to write what you think and what you feel. And what you feel is the pulse of the country. As long as that country that you're working in does not come into the target of your own country. In other words, mm-hmm. if America suddenly has something against China or something against the Philippines, or Iraq, I wrote lots of stories that had positive aspects on Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But once Iraq and the United States got involved in a conflict,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't say anymore that there was a positive part on Iraq, but you couldn't say that anymore because that was against the interests of the United States.
So if you could leave us on one note, of what you think. What do you think about freedom of speech? You think it's a very grey area?
It's not only grey, it's an illusion. Doesn't exist. As far as I'm concerned, freedom of speech, freedom does not exist. It's only in our imagination that we think we can say things. But you say things that are dangerous, or you say things that are controversial or critical, and you find that you can be very easily in trouble.
They just dismiss freedom the laws completely. Freedom of expression
is, I can go down and say, bullshit, this and that, and you know, and Mr. Morrison is not, I don't think he's doing a good job or something. Now, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But once I say something that is damaging to our commercial, political, or national interests, then I might be in trouble, even in this country. I don't know.
Wow.
I haven't worked here as a journalist for a long time.
Yeah. I reckon you would find it is different to very the other different countries.
But very anywhere in the world now. Yeah. Journalism has changed so much.
Wow.
It's no longer a kind of profession that you go and you dig out the dirt.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to dig out the dirt because everyone that has dirt has a bunch of lawyers protecting them.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today on Griffith Small. I really appreciate it.
Good.
That's great. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back next week.